The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
The Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome to episode 36 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. My name is Pete, I'm back, and so is my voice, much to the chagrin of three other people in this room.
Now see, I was just about to go, yay!
Sorry I beat you to it.
You did.
That voice, that baritone voice that we all know and love.
I have a cold, okay?
Oh. No, that would be Dave. Well... Now I don't know who to introduce first.
No, that's Kathleen over there.
Kathleen's coughing.
Yes, I'm
Hello,
sorry.
Kathleen. Dave is the dulcet baritone this evening.
Hello.
And Troy is...
And I just have a voice.
Are you around? Okay. And you're not sick either.
I'm not sick.
That's wonderful.
It's because he gave it to me.
No way.
But also joining us today for a very particular reason that we will get to here in a minute, Dave's lovely wife, Donna. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello. Thank you very much. It's very interesting to be here, not... In December.
I was going
to
say.
It's not
was
Christmas
Was Grumpy
time.
Cat the last one you were,
yes,
here?
It was. Okay, okay. Yes, it was.
Sorry. You came back.
Yes, I did. I feel like I kind of had to for this one.
Well, yeah.
You're kind of responsible for this one.
I don't get how that blame gets heaped on me. I really don't. I did not choose this movie for this episode.
No, you didn't, but I knew you would love it, I think.
That's kind of a strong word.
Well, let's get into it. Tonight's feature presentation from 2013 is the action sort of comedy.
I'd say it's action comedy horror.
Action comedy horror. Yeah, there were stuff I laughed at.
I'm not sure it was something supposed to laugh
it's
at. But
a movie for sure. This is Hansel and Gretel: Witch Hunters, starring Jeremy Renner, Famke. Oh boy,
Jansen.
Yeah, Famke Jansen.
Yeah, Famke Jansen. Yep.
Gemma Arterton.
Thank you very much. I didn't have my notes in front of me. Damn it. And much to the chagrin of this cast. I'll be doing the six-minute synopsis, where I take 6 minutes to summarize the entire movie, top to bottom, and if I don't make it in 6 minutes, I get to sing an embarrassing song. After that, of course, we are going to grab ourselves a beer. I've brought two different beers from Columbus. No, I'm sorry, one's from Cincinnati. Apologies. Clearly not prepared tonight. We're going to talk about the beer, we're going to talk about the movie, we're going to talk about another beer, and then finally we're going to wrap up our evening with our six-pack rating as we let you know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this film. So, gang, it's great to be back. It's great for my voice to be back.
Yes.
Yeah. Mine's actually okay.
You sound fine.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets a little froggy.
Now, with the movie tonight, I would like to ask our guest, why might we have chosen this movie?
Right. Well, I'm going to take a wild stab at the dark as to why. So, number one would be that I went to go see this movie willingly in theaters when it first came out.
And why did you go see this movie?
Because I used to really love Jeremy Renner.
Used to?
I'm not as old. I mean, I don't dislike him now, but he doesn't draw me to a movie the way he once would have. And after watching this again, I'm just sort of sad for him. Because
wow.
But then I was like, how much did he get paid? I mean, he got paid for this. So, and he's been in all the Avengers movies, so it's not like he's hurting for work or anything like that.
I don't know. I think that he probably had a lot of fun doing this movie. It didn't seem like something that one reads the script of and thinks like, this is going to be a feather in my cap. You know?
Right. Right.
This is going to be the Not shining jewel bedpost. In my portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, I think he read the script and went, this is going to be my new bathroom.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to put a pool at this house.
Did you see who the two executive producers were, which I didn't notice till we watched it? Will Ferrell. And Adam McKay.
That's very interesting.
I did notice that it was an MTV film, which in my first notes made me go, ugh.
This is starting out poorly.
Yeah, right. Like, I was like, oh, God, we haven't even done anything yet.
But two siblings! When they get together, start killing witches.
Start being real.
Oh, God. There is actually a picture somewhere of my wife next to the poster for Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, like making a kissy face at Jeremy Renner.
Oh, I might still have that on my phone. I have to search for
we
it.
We need to find that picture and put it on
if we find it, we will
the
post
Instagrams.
It.
I know where it is.
Yeah. Dave has a blackmail pile.
Yeah, I can imagine when we were getting in an argument, you're like, do you remember this?
Honey.
You making kissy faces at that scrunchy-faced guy?
Yeah.
Actually, I think the reason you remember seeing it is because somebody, you can take some of your photos from Facebook and make them into little, like, magnets or stickers,
yeah.
And that's on our fridge. Yeah. That is why you notice. So it's actually
well, so we can take
fridge.
A photo of
yes,
the photo.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just you could get, like, a cardboard standee and just move him around the house randomly, like our 5-foot inflatable dinosaur that we have in our house right now.
Nice.
Oh. Tippy.
Tippy.
I need to come over. I want to see Tippy.
Tippy.
I would expect nothing less from your daughter.
Had some great fun with Tippy.
Mm-hmm. I walked into one of the manager's offices to work on her computer, and she had a full-size, what's his name from Twilight, the vampire?
Robert Pattinson.
Patterson. I had never been in her office before, and it was behind the door. So I walked into her office with all this computer equipment.
Yeah.
And I set some stuff down and I turned around and there's somebody standing in the corner and I almost shit my fucking pants. Not even kidding you. My heart
computer
stopped. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
And it was fine.
I don't know if I had an inflatable dinosaur that I would be able to resist moving it around, just freaking people. I'm sure that you've got that all out of your system now.
Oh,
no, it would still.
Because, I mean, it would freak me out. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
I like to just put it in the front window, so it's just staring out at the neighborhood. That's fun. Mm-hmm.
If I saw that, I'd be like, life found a way.
Oh, God.
Ah, yes. It started. It started to spit his drink out.
You were so busy trying to figure out whether you could that you didn't stop to think of whether you should.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's enough about our dinosaur.
We can keep talking about our dinosaur.
Before we move on, I wanted to mention something. There are three friends of ours who have hit the 10-year mark on their podcasts. Troy Gwynn and Rod Barnett on the NashyCast have hit the 10-year mark. Christopher Page over at the Time Shifters podcast. I think his Orphaned Entertainment is at 7 years, so he's up there. And then our buddies at Spooky Pinball hit the 10-year mark. So I wanted to give a little shout out to
absolutely
to the Emerys, to Troy and Rod, and then of course Christopher. Congratulations, guys! 10 years, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Christopher Page, he and I are going to go see King Kong. 1933, it's been 65 years since it's been seen in the theaters, and he and I are going to go check that out. I hope to get a drop or two while we're out there just to weasel into both of our podcasts. So I'm real excited about that. Again, it's been 65 years since it's been on the silver screen.
That'll be cool.
And wow, I'm really excited.
It was beauty that killed this beast. What are you shaking your head for? That wasn't a head shaky.
Are we going to play a drinking game today whenever Donna says, oh, honey?
No, we don't want to do that.
We'll be fucking hammered on the floor in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah,
we'll be shithoused. Or I have to keep my mouth shut because I'm not allowed to say anything.
That's not going to happen.
Then she'll be like, honey, talk, honey.
Oh, that's five right there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go get a beer and totally not go to the other room and fart. I'm blowing up like a fucking Zeppelin
right
now. So,
let's
Dave's
move on from that.
Hilarious right now.
I'm ready to get this thing rolling.
All right.
Here.
I do
have a present for you, Kathleen.
You do?
It's this.
Oh, look at you. Oh,
fuck,
I hate your peepers.
I'm wearing readers, friends and family. I hate this.
What's the magnification on them?
One.
Oh, see, that's what mine are.
Hey, see, I wouldn't have known that if you hadn't said anything. They just look like nice glasses to me.
Just call
they
them
fit my face. Whatever.
All right.
Whereas I thought you look like a mummy. They're going to drive and blow away. With your old ass.
Oh, that was one. Did you guys hear that one?
are we playing this game?
No, we're not. I was just pointing it out.
I think that was a wise decision not to play this game.
All right. Ready? Set? Go.
The movie opens by giving the audience a condensed recap of the classic story from Grimm's fairy tale. Hansel and Gretel happen upon the famous gingerbread house from the story, which actually looks a lot more like a candied butthole. but rather than anything made of ginger and bread. Since children are stupid, the kids let themselves inside to see if there are any sweets. The siblings are captured. The siblings are captured by the witch that owns the house. The witch is trying to fatten up Hansel by forcing him to eat copious amounts of candy while forcing Gretel to help stoke the fire. While the witch is distracted, Gretel frees her brother and the two kids push the witch into the fire as Gretel asks, "Is it hot enough for you, bitch?" The opening credits roll and we get a newspaper clipping montage of Hansel and Gretel growing up and making a monster hunting name for themselves. Sam and Dean would be so proud. The credits lead into a scene where the townsfolk of Augsburg, I think, are gathered to listen to the local sheriff accuse a lovely redheaded, blue-eyed young lady named Mina of being a witch. Recently, a large number of children have gone missing, and the crowd wants justice, even if they condemn an innocent woman to death. The townsfolk are really getting into it, yelling, "Burn the witch!" and "Make a bridge out of her!" and "She turned me into a newt!" When Hansel and Gretel show up to settle everybody down, Hansel examines the accused witch by hilariously squishing her face and sticking his fingers into her mouth, looking for signs of witchery. Hansel tells the town that the girl is clean, and the mayor has hired him and his sister to find the real witch and return the children. Much like any good politician, the sheriff doesn't want to lose his power and starts yelling at them, when Gretel ends the tantrum by headbutting the sheriff in the nose. The mayor tells Hansel and Gretel that there's a strange cottage to the north side of the woods, and they should start there. Sure enough, they find a witch there, and after a neat mix of practical effects, CG, and wire foo, Hansel and Gretel are able to dispatch the monster. They search the witch's home, but don't find any children. However, much like a bad Bond villain, the witch has left behind some evil plans about a gathering of witches for the Blood Moon. They go back to the town and explain to the mayor that these plans are about a lunar eclipse that will happen in 3 nights. The Blood Moon, which happens only once in a generation and is one of the holiest nights for witches, is why all the children have been taken. Ooh. It's too dangerous to look for witches at night, so Hansel and Gretel go to the pub. At the same time, the sheriff has assembled a small mob to go rescue the children. The mob goes witch hunting in the woods at night. And right on cue, we finally meet our big bad of the movie, Muriel, played by the impossibly beautiful Famke Janssen. Much like a Buffy vampire, Muriel goes from haughty to naughty and mercilessly slaughters the mob. Muriel confronts the last hunter and casts a gross spell on him that we will come to in a little bit. At the pub, Hansel is hitting on the bar wenches and getting properly good beer, bad movie night drunk, while Gretel is doing all the work planning their strategy to confront the witches. A teenager walks up to Hansel and Gretel and introduces himself as Ben the Superfan. Ben has a scrapbook of newspaper clippings that we saw during the opening credits and wants their autograph. Ben also says he wants to be a witch hunter when he grows up. Good luck, nerd. As Ben is fawning over the heroes, he asks what's the best way to kill a witch. Gretel tells him that fire is the only real way to know that a witch is dead. Just then, the last hunter stumbles into the bar. You know, the one that Muriel cast a spell on? Tells the bar that Muriel has killed all the hunters and promptly explodes in a glorious shower of blood and visceral. We return to Muriel and her two nameless sisters going over the plans for the Blood Moon. Apparently, during the Blood Moon, a spell can be cast that will make witches immune to fire. The coven tests out this spell, and it works, but it's only temporary, and Muriel says that once the spell is performed during the Blood Moon, it will be permanent. In the background, we see a giant troll that we will get to later. The next day, Hansel is approached by Mina the Redhead. She is definitely into Mr. Renner, and I'm pretty sure I could hear Donna screaming from across the town, "Back off, bitch! He's mine!" Later that day, Hansel and Gretel captures one of the witch sisters and tosses her into jail to interrogate her about the Blood Moon Sabbath. They figure out the witches need just one more child to complete the spell. Just then, Muriel rides in on her broomstick and sets fire to one of the buildings in the village. While the town tries to put out the fire, the witches grab the last child they need for the spell. There's a big fight. Gretel is knocked out while Hansel is dropped comically into the woods after grabbing onto the back of a witch's broomstick. Gretel wakes up the next day, goes out to the woods looking for Hansel. She is ambushed by the sheriff and some of his goons, but is saved by the troll I mentioned earlier. Gretel asks the troll why he saved her, and the troll says that trolls serve witches, and wanders off. For some reason, it's night now, and Hansel and Gretel happen upon their childhood home. Muriel confronts them at the home and tells them that this was once the home of Adriana, the great white witch, their mother. Dun, dun, dun! Muriel tells Hansel and Gretel that the Blood Moon needs the heart of a white witch, and she means to use Gretel's. A fight breaks out, and pow, zap, zoom, bang. Hansel is knocked unconscious, and Gretel is taken to the coven. The next day, Mina heals Hansel, and it turns out that she is also a white witch. Who knew? Mina says that while Hansel was out, she found a book of protection against black magic. They use the book to bless a shit ton of weapons, and Ben, Mina, and Hansel saddle up to stop the ritual. The hour has come for the Sabbath to begin, and several dozen witches have shown up for the fire protection spell. Hansel interrupts the spell, and we get our final battle. Boom, blam, crack, zam, zing, boom. We get an excellent fight, ending at the decaying gingerbread house from the start of this movie. The fight ends with Hansel and Gretel cutting off Muriel's head and tossing her body into the same oven they used to burn the first witch.
You had 11 seconds to spare.
Wow.
Bing, bang, boom.
Surgical.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Yes.
I don't have to sing and you...
Fuck off, bitch!
Oh, my God.
So that is our 6-minute synopsis. I have succeeded.
You have. Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we will go get our very first beer.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Tom just backs up like that beer was going to explode on her.
All right, our first beer tonight from the Rheingeist Brewery in Cincinnati, Ohio. This is Whiffle. I had not seen this one. This was why I picked it up. And I've seen most of the... I thought I had seen most of the
Rheingeist! Rheingeist!
So, description on their website, balanced, dry, and effortlessly complex. Whiffle is a refreshing riff on the traditional Belgian witbier, airy wheat. Bright citrus aromas drift in and give away to crisp, ardent breeze, bearing notes of tangerine and subtle spice, a breath of fresh air. ABV 5%, IBUs 6. I'll have to save one for Jody for sure.
It's very soft.
I like this. It should be. And, mm-hmm. and you know I don't really like beer, but
yep.
the smell is nice and this is really nice.
Yeah. I am a big fan of Belgian beers. They've been overcome by the sours here recently, mm-hmm. which is fine.
Yes,
this is all cyclical. We'll come back to the Belgians one of these years. But the Whitbeer is one that I enjoy a lot. I do think it has a pillowy mouthfeel to it.
Oh, pillowy, that's a good word.
Yeah. It is an old Belgian style made with unmalted wheat and then, of course, malted barley and a lot of times orange rind. So you'll get some orange rind in it. You might get, I haven't tried mine yet. You might get a little bit of hint of banana. You get bubble gum, you've got something wrong with it.
It's
this is less orange. It's more lemon.
Is it lemon?
It's
okay.
Very lemon.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It's got a nice head to it.
Yeah, the glass you poured is beautiful. It is a frothy.
Yeah, it's very
white.
Like a mousse kind of.
Yeah. Yes.
Like a foam.
Mm-hmm. These are very nice. These are easy drinking. These are patio beers at 5%. You can drink a bunch of these.
Mm-hmm.
This is the wrong phrase because it's not totally unpleasant, but it's almost, it coats your mouth. Like it's kind of almost oily. Like,
is it?
Yeah, don't you think? Like,
I think I know what you're saying. It's mouth coaty, but like not like sticky mouth coaty.
It lingers.
Yeah.
It does linger. It is not a clean finishing beer, and these beers aren't. What I'm more experiencing instead of oily, it is so very, as again, Dave's has poured this a few minutes ago and he still has a lot of, you're going to
foam. Just foam. Say foam.
Foam is probably the better word.
I have foam.
Yeah. Yeah. So my guess is that foam is billowing in your mouth, coating everything. I can't.
You can't
win for losing.
You can't win. With A, the people sitting in this room, myself included, when you keep talking about mouth feel and filling the mouth and just like...
This creamy mouthfeel is foaming my mouth with pillowy, pillowy foam.
Pillowy mouthfeel.
Like that lingers, right.
Really biting the pillow a lot. Like, oh.
Biting the creamy mouthfeel pillow.
All right. Okay, so instead of describing it anymore, I'm going to say yum. Yes. If you have an opportunity, I highly recommend this beer.
I like this. I like this, definitely. I don't know that I would, even though it's really close to being Geary level, there's still just enough of that plant at the end.
Mm-hmm. Would it,
that it's not quite.
Is this really Geary though? I mean, wouldn't it be 60 or 50 IBUs?
What did you say it was?
It's 5% and 6 IBUs.
Oh, like just six.
Six. The number six.
Like
yeah.
zero, like six. Not six, zero, zero, six.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, never mind.
Well, then it's way off. Sorry. I mean, I said it was off, but it's
But you're
way
getting
off.
A grassy thing?
No, plant.
Plant.
It's different okay. than that mowed grass hops bitter IPA thing.
It might be that wheat.
This is just plant. It might be. Yeah, it might be. It's not unpleasant. I definitely would enjoy very cold on the patio.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. watching some beanbag toss kind of, you know, right. thing. Or you guys fling the frisbee at my child sort of thing that happens on a weekend in the summer.
Yeah, not like my family where my cousins would chuck a manhole cover at my head.
Explain so much.
I was six. It was actually a hubcap.
Thank you, Ryan Geist. That's another. Seriously? That's yes. another. That's another hit.
Yeah.
It, yeah.
I like
nice
this.
Work.
The brewery is really. They usually have.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've. Well, I haven't had their cider series. They've got a bunch of ciders out there.
I may have had a cider.
You like the rose.
The rosé or the bubbles.
Yeah, the rosé.
Oh, yeah, I like
good.
The bubbles.
Bubbles.
The bubbles. Yeah, I do like that. I was not a fan of the seltzer.
Hmm, okay.
But I, so far, but haven't been a fan of anybody's seltzer.
So. I don't get not the seltzer fault. Thing. I mean, I guess I do get it, but like it, the seltzer, the alcoholic seltzer thing, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, the White Claws?
Yeah.
Or what, and the, all the their ilk. Like, that does nothing for me. I don't get it.
It's the new Bartles and James.
Bartles and James,
right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the wine cooler.
It's easy going down. You
it's the more, it's the yes. beer, it's the beer wine cooler. That's the way I envision it. Because it's definitely who it's marketed to. It's marketed to women.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I would just
oh,
guess.
Yeah.
I
mean, half the cans, unfortunately, are like light colors and pink.
And tall and skinny.
And tall and skinny. And
I think of it as a drink, like an alcoholic drink for people who don't like or respect the taste of alcohol.
Yeah.
Right, but it tastes like that nasty ass uncarbonated soda because it's that seltzer, which is the thing.
It's seltzer, but like alcoholic seltzer, like that's not the experience that I want. So
it's also a gateway.
Yeah,
I like this experience of being intoxicated. Let's try something else.
I feel like a lot of the people who are drinking this, like if you were to just give them like a patch they can slap on their skin and like this has the same effects of alcoholic effects as this White Claw, they would do that. But yeah, like it's alcohol for people who don't like the taste of alcohol, which I get.
Yeah. I understand that too. To me, I still would go towards something like a wine cooler because I really cannot stand that seltzer concept. Mm. So like I am just not the market for these people at all. They're like, this is for everybody but her.
Right.
This is for you and you, but not you. Yeah. And you and you.
Yeah.
So we saw our protagonist shirtless.
Yes, we did.
Oh, you're talking about Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
I was thinking
squishy
about Gemma Arterton.
Jeremy Renner.
So,
well, yeah.
At one time, I probably would have been, I think when I first saw this, what year did this movie come out again?
2013.
Okay, so then I probably was like really impressed by it. But now, like, I've seen too many movies with Michael B. Jordan to be as impressed by Jeremy Renner anymore.
That's just unfair comparison.
It is unfair, but unfortunately, the bar has been raised, so,
Jesus.
You know.
So you're off the Jeremy Renner thing.
Yeah, I think so. I still like him, and I still enjoy his performance in the movie, maybe not quite this one, because, like, I know when I saw it the first time, I thought it was ridiculous, but watching it again, I'm like, wow, I paid like an admission price to get into a theater. That means, and I probably bought popcorn and something to drink, which means I spent a lot of money to see this. And it's one of those like you can stream and watch and you're like, oh, ha, ha, ha. But to go to a movie theater, wow.
You made an evening out of it.
I really did. And I dragged someone else with me. So, I mean, you know.
So you tortured someone too.
I did, yes.
Honey.
Sucker.
Yeah, she did that to me for one of the Twilight movies too. So,
oh, you did that. You did
You're
that
evil.
Well, to Kathleen.
Hey, Jody also went and saw a Twilight movie with me. I mean, you know, the
just because you spread the poison around to other people right. doesn't make it less that you're poisoning people. That just makes you Typhoid Donna.
Ow, you stabbed me. Well, I stabbed her too.
Right, exactly.
Well, what I will say, both of those movies, because they're equally pretty terrible. Well, they're both terrible, but in different ways,
yes.
is that they both have not bad production value and pretty good costuming, even if it's a ridiculous at times. They're like, they spent some money on this.
Yes.
I'm like, okay.
I was a very big fan of the not lead bad witch, not Famke Janssen, but one of the sisters. Yes, I called her Horns for Hair.
Yeah.
I was just like that. That is clever. I am impressed with her spiky horns for hair.
Yeah.
I liked her too, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be Firuza Bulk, though, so bad.
The craft,
I was like,
man.
Yes,
craft, exactly.
I wanted her to show up so bad, even like if it was like just a
some
moment.
Weird cameo, yeah. Right.
At the end of the movie, that's what Troy said. He was like, that movie was seriously missing Firuza Bulk.
Yeah, this felt like a Sam Raimi movie, but like not
without
quite
Sam
as charming.
Raimi.
Like
charming,
yeah. Like there's a lot of moments that were funny violence, you know, like which Sam Raimi does, mwah,
beautiful.
Like it's his thing, and they tried to do it with this, but it wasn't as artfully done.
Yeah,
but that's the feeling this movie has, and a little less storytelling.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know what time period this is supposed to be, but
real ambiguous.
Somewhere 1800s ish, and there was an awful lot of advanced technology, it seemed like.
Gatling guns.
Especially in the weaponry. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I'm pretty sure grenades didn't exist then.
Switchblade shotguns were not a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I think that we can give them a little bit of a pass on that, just because I think steampunk is kind of a thing. Although
that's a good point. I didn't think about this.
Yeah, like anachronistic technology.
Yeah,
and allow me to put together a picture for you. Like the as far as the what
he's got the brush out.
Paint me a picture with your words.
Okay, so the original story of Hansel and Gretel was published. I mean, it was Brothers Grimm, around like early 1800s. I mean, the original story was probably around like since the 1300s.
Right.
Set out of Germany. Probably inspired by the plague, because the original Hansel and Gretel was, you know, like the parents couldn't support the kids, so
right,
like just take them out.
Feed them.
Yeah, so they just like take them out in the woods and just leave them. So like the beginning part of this movie was a little bit of a departure from the Brothers Grimm. So let's say the movie was as they were kids was probably set, let's say, early 1800s. That means that the movie was set probably like 1840s, 1830s ish. We're still 35 years away from the first revolver. And like her little charger thing, like in the movie, she had that weapon that looked
like a stun gun.
Yeah, that she had to manually pump it to generate electricity, which I thought was hilarious.
I thought that was funny too.
Yeah, it was clever.
I did, yeah.
That would have probably existed because I think, what was it? Michael Faraday was the first person to create a generator, and that was in 1831. So that's plausible.
Are you trying to bring logic to this? Why would you do that?
He's trying to come up with
allow me
to
paint you a picture.
Continue with your wide brushstrokes, sir.
The technology, it's cool.
Yeah,
I'm just putting things into historical perspective too. Like the Brothers Grimm, for some reason there seems to be shitloads of witches in the Brothers Grimm, or like I don't know, Hans Christian Andersen or all these other.
Yeah. Well, all of those old tales were tales that had been passed down. And their entire purpose was to keep children in line, to keep children alive, because there were so many things that would randomly kill you anyway, diseases, malnutrition, all that kind of stuff. Life is hard enough.
Right.
If you manage to have a child, keep it alive through the first 3 or 4 years, which is like so difficult in this age, you know, this period of time. And then by that time, you've probably had several more. So you need the older ones to keep their shit together. So you need to tell them scary stories to keep them from wandering off into the woods or, you know, whatever. So,
I guess this was like, and if we're placing this movie around the 1800s, like early 1800s, that would have been. Yeah, like at the age of 8, you're like, okay, it's time for you to get a job.
Right.
maybe get married.
Yeah.
Right. Like at 13, it's time to start having kids.
Right. You get married at 13 because you die at 20. Yeah. If you make it through childbirth, it's crazy. Yeah.
But these stories generally have a moral of some kind.
Right.
What is the moral of Hansel and Gretel, like the original? What is the takeaway from this? Like, don't trust your parents because they'll fucking leave you if they're starving? Or
survive at all costs.
I thought that the
don't eat candy houses.
The short answer, I don't know. I thought the original tale mom is not mom, she is stepmom, which
I thought so too, which
is so common in some of these stories, right. Because we have to make the villain the lady, but it seems mean to make dear old mom the villain, so she's dead and it's stepmom who comes in because it's easy to make her the villain. She's the one that tells dad you have to take these children into the woods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they come back the first time.
Right.
Yes. And then she takes them in, or he takes them in farther again. And I want to say they come back a second time.
I think you're right.
Because, and then it's the third time where they don't have stones or shells or pebbles to drop, and they drop the breadcrumbs and lose their way.
Right.
For those of you confused, she's talking about the fairy tale, not the movie.
Oh, yeah, no. Right. The movie, they just are like, well, shit, and just move on.
I've always pictured the gingerbread house to be like a happy-looking place and like pretty. This is a creepy-ass, weird, melty candy thing, you know? It's like, it was not appetizing-looking, and they still broke some pieces off and ate it, but
apparently quite a few, because Jeremy Renner is diabetic in this. Okay,
I skipped that because the joke was dumb.
Oh my god,
diabetes.
yeah. The whole diabetic thing was a dumb.
Yeah,
thing. It was meant like to three be times. Clearly when they put it into the story, the idea was that it would at some point he would be in that life or death fight be without the magical shot that he apparently has some sort of timing mechanism on his person somewhere that randomly snaps, and then he goes from completely functional to almost in a coma. Paralyzed.
Yes. Coma, yes.
Right. I was like, really? There's no ramp up to this at all. It's like,
and
it's
then
almost
he gets a shot. And he's right back in it.
Right. He gets a shot and he's Superman again. It's like,
I'm not sure if that's an accurate portrayal of type 2 by diabetes.
But like, the diabetes, as soon as I heard it, like that's the Chekhov's gun here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like Chekhov's, famously said, if you show a gun in the first act, it has to go off by the third.
Right.
And it did.
Sure enough. Yeah.
It right on time.
Like,
right.
Buzzer went off.
Exactly. And the buzzer
collapses right in the middle of the fight. And of course, the thing isn't attached to his magical gear on his leg at that point.
The insulin shot's like the equivalent of Popeye eating spinach. And all of a sudden, he's like totally fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that's not how insulin shots work.
Well, and I'm sorry, but if you're that bad off, tell me that you don't have like six of those bad boys strapped to you at all time. If you go from functioning to dead as soon as the timer goes off.
Well, if you're a computer-like programmer, you can have one in the bathroom. You're fighting witches. Like, that's your job.
Right.
You gotta be prepped, man.
Right.
I mean, he's
got,
like, shotguns that he could unfold from his from his camp.
Yes. I did think that he was missing the elbow knife from the Guyver as part of his, like, fighting in this.
That would have made sense. Yeah.
Right? I mean, I felt
all
it would go.
All the stuff that he had, Gatling guns.
Well, which was so crazy because it was like, they roll into town with just what they have. They fight, you know, they're pulling weapons out of pockets that don't seem to exist during those original fights. And then it's like, they're going along. And then all of a sudden, when it's time for the big fight, he's got this magic wagon that we haven't seen for the entire movie that's full of all this stuff. And they found this spell to bless everything or whatever. And was like, they're going through it. I was like, oh my God, they're going to bless the boomstick here. Let's just go with this. What are we doing?
Yeah, I figured if we can believe that he has a repeating shotgun and like she has like a rapid fire crossbow that also splits so it can shoot right and left at the same time.
At the same time, I know.
Oh man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we can suspend reality enough to assume that he has access to insulin fully 75 to 80 years before insulin was actually used medically.
Right.
Yeah, I guess we have to suspend our disbelief a lot for this.
I thought maybe since I mean, we've watched movies before where they're like kind of playing on the mythology of certain things like zombies or vampires or whatnot. But I thought like, okay, well, I mean, how much folklore is involved with witches? Like everybody knows scary witch stories from fairy tales and whatnot. Like, you know, this was probably the most famous.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. The other ones like
Snow White, the Wicked Queen is really a witch.
Well, they melt if you throw water on them.
Right. The Wizard of Oz. That one's not necessarily.
Yeah, there's no consistent witch mythology. I mean, a coven has to be three, and that's about.
Oh, it does?
That's I thought.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought like the most powerful witches were always in pairs of three. Like, wasn't
pairs of three?
I thought it had to be four because you needed to be able to call the four corners. Oh, northeast, southwest. That's what it is in the craft.
What was it in Clash of the Titans? Focus. Was three, wasn't it? The three blind witches?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Those are technically fates. They weren't witches. They're actually like gods or like celestial beings.
Right, fine. Yeah.
But in Hocus Pocus, there was three.
That's true. The Sanderson
Macbeth.
Sisters.
Macbeth. Macbeth, yeah. Three witches.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So there's something about the number three.
The number three.
Probably.
But yeah. I don't think there's like, you kill them with a silver bullet, you know?
Yeah. Well, not all of
them,
right?
They don't multiply if you throw water on them or whatever. Right.
I think there's a couple reasons for it. I think one, your witches are women. Yes. You know,
well,
and
warlock
a lot of,
is the male version of
totally, but they're not usually portrayed as the I'm coming to steal and eat the children.
True.
Or kill everybody or curse people or whatever. I'm pretty sure they didn't hang a lot of dudes in Salem. So
no, because they were in charge.
Right. Mm-hmm. Still dealing with that too, but I think there's so much lore when it comes to witches because culturally it's different across the board.
Right.
Because okay. There's a lot of it like based on what every culture deems as valuable or important or their expectations for their women. And then any women who were outside of that mm-hmm. would then be cast into this. Right. And I kind of felt like at the end of the movie when they were calling all the witches
there
were
scene.
So many really diverse, mm-hmm. different, like I was like, oh, I wonder if that's kind of this kind of culture, it wasn't tons of people who look like the three ladies that right. they'd be, you know, it wasn't horns for hair and, you know, right. all that kind of stuff. Like multiples of that. The
green skin and pointy hats. And
right. Well, it was like, you know, there were things that were definitely very obviously Asian culture. There were definitely things that were very off African culture. Like there were, and I think that's because it's so different in each one. What they look like, how they act, what they're doing. I mean, I think the only common through line is that they're women and fuckers hate them.
And they eat kids?
Or take them for some reason. They get, you know, like in Hocus Pocus, which is very silly, they want to like suck the life out of them to regain their own youth. Oh. Like that. And I think that's kind of a common
kind
theme.
Of a turnabout because usually it's the other way around.
Right. The children suck the youth out of their mothers 1,000%.
Oh, sweetie, you age me.
Oh, yeah.
But like the tradition of, I mean, if we're talking about fairy tales, of children getting eaten. I mean, just the idea of being eaten is a very primal fear.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's monsters. And like, I mean, I'm sure that there's more than just witches that threaten to eat children. Like, oh, shoot, now that I can't think of it.
The Bag Wolf and a Little Red Riding Hood.
Right.
But like just thinking of the German background, like the Black Forest and the Black Forest witches mm-hmm. and covens and whatnot, like I'm thinking about like witches in the European tradition, like the Baba Yaga from mm-hmm. Russia.
Right.
Like in her freaking chicken leg house or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's a scary story.
Yeah.
Like Baba Yaga's terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's actually made me really happy that very recently in the past 5-10 years, she's kind of come into popular culture.
Is that what that movie that was out recently was based off of that was like... I can't remember if the family goes to visit grandma or if just the kids go to visit or like the parents leave and grandma's supposed to come and grandma is like not really their grandma and she's like this terrifying. Oh.
If the woman in that movie rides around in a flying mortar and pestle, then that would be the Baba Yaga. But anyway, but the Baba Yaga are like famous witches like Medea, Circe,
mm-hmm.
Hecate, Morgan Le Fay. Lilith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
What movie did we watch where I was talking about
Bordello of Blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The Lilim.
Yeah, Lilim.
But yeah, I think just the whole idea of witch or just calling somebody a witch probably mm-hmm. didn't even exist pre-Christianity or like pre-Abrahamic religion. Because before that, everybody was just like, you know, they believed in magic, you know, like go to the person. Who,
yeah, the lady who could make all mm-hmm. Could make your boo-boo go away by stomping on some leaves yeah. was your hero. And then all of a sudden she was poisoning you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the effort to drive out pagan religions mm-hmm. or the idea like, oh yeah, before this was a person who helped you heal or helped you give birth to your child or, you know, like here, this is something to help with your erectile dysfunction. Like here, just to, you know, cut this chicken's head off and shake your dick around and whatever.
Does that work?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I heard. No, I didn't hear anything because I would never have learned anything about this. Let's stop talking about my dick.
I didn't start.
So uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable right now.
We should segue into something.
How about another beer?
Yes, please.
Lovely.
All right. Yes. We're going to get another beer.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
So we have, we are circling back to North High Brewery. I was in the store the other day and I found this beer. I hadn't seen it before. So I had to pick it up because it's what I do. From North High Brewery. This is called Cover Crop Beer. It is a collaboration with the Ohio Farm Bureau.
Oh, that's cool.
They are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Apparently, this beer, according to the can and the website and all that good stuff, it is a 100% Ohio beer. It has hops and barley grown here in Ohio. I think it's really cool that a brewery has coupled with farmers, local businesses in Ohio to create something like this. So I think that's very, very, very cool.
That is cool.
What about the yeast?
Probably not. North High could very well have propagated their own yeast.
Yeah.
I mean, when I worked at CBC, we would put yeast in and then we would collect that yeast mm-hmm. and reuse it. So I don't know how many generations it would become an Ohio yeast, but we would constantly be renewing it. Every once in a while, we would have to purchase some outside yeast to introduce some new colonies.
Getting them foreign yeast.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, just like anything, you don't want...
So if yeast...
You don't want inbred
yeast. You don't want too much inbreeding.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to make... Does it become inbred?
Well done, Dry.
Was it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna chalk that one up to a win.
So the ABV is 4.5%. So this is a drinking beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sessionable.
It's very sessionable, yes, sir. And then it's 14%.
Again,
I'm sorry.
Jeez, like, you lied to me.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. 14 IBUs. So it's also very low in the IBU category. Yeah,
this is very, very light and drinkable.
Yeah, it's a light lager without actually being light, I suppose.
Well, and this one's also, again, very pillowy. It's very soft.
Yeah, okay.
No sharpness to this flavor. Is this a lager?
It's a lager, for sure.
I thought so. And usually the lager...
Well, okay, I'm not for sure, I guess.
Right, exactly. It says it's a beer, Cover Crop beer.
It sure has a lagery flavor to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it could be just a light ale.
It's kind of beer with a lowercase b, you know. Just a beer. You go to the... I want a beer, and this would be a good one.
Oh, it is an ale.
Oh.
Easy drinking ale.
Yeah, very easy.
But whatever the case, it would be a welcome addition to any fridge.
For sure. This reminds me a lot of the Hilltop. A lot of that style of beer, even mm-hmm. though Hilltop is a lager from what I remember.
It's funny, for the longest time, I've been wanting like super flavorful big beers. And recently, I want a beer that I can go to the fridge and drink with my meal.
Obey your taste buds.
Right.
Obey your taste buds.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not every beer has to be an event. I mean, it can be just something that...
That's true.
That's an excellent saying. Not every beer has to be an event.
Like, sometimes you just need a drink. You don't have to sit there and be like, okay, well, I'm going to start taking tasting notes and, like, log this in my diary.
Yeah, recently, recently the Land Grant Peak, which is just...
I'm going to look that one up. I don't think I've had that one.
I like that one. That's been my kind of go-to for the longest time.
Huh. Yeah, I can tell that I'd be able to drink a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good.
I like it. It has a really sweet smell, but not a sweet taste.
It is very simple. It is a very simple tasting beer. There's nothing to think about. It's just yum.
Yeah.
It's right. Ohio. Simple, not a lot to think about.
Yum.
I'm sorry. That's not nice, Buckeyes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Really? You Hoosier?
Right.
What kind of... Oh, yeah.
The sophisticated Hoosiers.
Tastes like shit.
Aw. Three Floyds?
Oh, yeah. There's some good stuff going on in Indiana right now. I shouldn't make too much fun.
And we can get Three Floyds in Ohio now. So.
Yep.
And if you actually stop by Perfect Pour, right off Sawmill Road near Dublin, Ohio, they have a pretty formidable collection of Three Floyds. Just walk in, and then even if you're not familiar with Three Floyds, look for like a giant wall of colorful illustration, and that's probably it.
Yes.
Well, didn't you go in and get, what was it, the Dark Lord? Is that the one that's so hard to...
You got a Dark Lord there?
No, I did not get that.
Okay.
But no, it is not available in Ohio as far as I know, and even if you live in Indiana, it's difficult to come by.
It's produced one time a year, and they usually sell out that week. because they'll bottle it all in 22-ounce bombers, and they have a festival for it, and it's gone.
Is it super-duper expensive?
It's not as expensive as a Utopia's. Like, the Utopia's is like a $200 bottle of beer.
That's Sam Adams. Oh,
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
$200 bottle of beer on the wall.
Yeah, right.
Right. Sorry, that is where it will stay.
Take one down, put it back up because it's too expensive to drink.
Yeah, because I've got bills to pay.
I've had it. It's a thick barley wine, almost no carbonation. If someone is kind enough to share it with you, a splash
is
all you need.
Is it really sweet?
It is very sweet. It's very sticky sweet.
Sticky, malty sweet?
Yeah.
Would you have to take a shot of anachronistic insulin in order to,
yes.
to drink it later?
Yes, you would.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you
when
would.
When the timer goes off.
Some of these things in this movie, I can't tell if they're supposed to be jokes. I mean, and I think they are, because there's a couple of them that they play very straight. I loved that in the village that they started off in, they put out milk bottles.
Yeah.
They have, like...
With kids' pictures on them.
Yeah. Pictures like
it's like glass milk bottles.
That was very funny, and I loved after Gretel headbutts the sheriff. The next scene, he's got a nose patch. Yes. That was really funny. Which is all that's in the beginning. So I'm like, this is going to be pretty good. And then they didn't continue with that a lot.
They had the porridge joke
where Ben
gave Gretel the porridge that wasn't too hot and not too cold.
Yeah.
Although,
stop that.
It is period appropriate because the Goldilocks and the Three Bears was published in 1837.
But then keep going with the Grimm's jokes, right? If you just pepper one in there, right, and it's not as funny.
Yeah.
It's not as groan worthy. Like, if you keep going on with that, then it might get actually entertaining, but just throwing one in there, I was like,
I was confused about, they went to the witch's butthole candy house. and they were there long enough for Hansel to develop diabetes. So, and then they kill her, and the candy witch house wasn't too terribly far from their real house.
I guess.
Right.
So you're still 11 and 12 at this point. How did they not realize when they came back to this town, especially when they're able to go into their home, that they were essentially in their own goddamn hometown and walk around and literally in like 2 minutes, like, hey, this is our old house.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, what? Then how the fuck did you not know that already? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand you didn't know that your mom was a witch and that there was a whole thing in the under the floor.
She's not a witch. She's your wife.
Yeah.
Well done, Troy.
Like, that felt like a weird plot miss.
Yeah.
For me.
There were several.
Kind of a hole.
Oh, sure. Totally. But that one just bugged me. Like,
No, I kind of agree.
I mean, we're talking like one sentence. Wow, Gretel, we've come all the way back full circle.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
Hole solved.
You remember that time when we were kids, like our father took us in the woods? Like, that would be indelibly marked into your memory.
Right.
Where
you
lived at the time.
Right.
Exactly where he left
Unless
you in the
woods.
Unless
they're trying to make it like they're trauma victims or something, and they like blotted it out so that, you know, to forget as like a defense mechanism. But that's way too deep for this movie, so.
Boy, that's true. If that was even part of the plan, they really missed the boat with the instant recognition of the house.
Right.
I didn't love that. I did kind of like the whole storyline of like the once in a lifetime blood moon and like the 12 kids, and they all have to be born in one, you know, one for each month of the year.
Right. I didn't touch on that too much.
I thought that was kind of that's the kind of exposition detail that makes something interesting.
Right.
And done and delivered quickly where we didn't have to hear about it 400 times.
And they were stealing both boys and girls.
Yeah.
So it just that you had to be born.
We needed
12 kids, one for each month of the year. Didn't matter.
Right.
What the sex was, just we needed a kid.
Yeah.
And then this gal's heart.
Right.
I thought that was a neat formula
for
a massive spell.
Right.
As the
I always want that to play into the plot a little bit. Yeah. I guess if you're going to introduce that thing, then like make it, you know, like, oh, I was born on a leap year, so it's not really February. It's like, you know, something stupid. You know,
well,
like,
the last kid that they collected was born in April, and that was the last month that hadn't been stolen.
Yeah.
So that was worked into the plot, I suppose, without ad nauseum. Yeah. Like, okay, we need right. September now. I mean, January now. And
We could have come into the story of the witches collecting their people when they had 10 instead of 11. You know, you could have had a moment where the kid's in their house and then shunk. The kid gets taken. Like, it doesn't have to be a big event like it was when the kid from the month of April was taken, where there was like a true battle for this kid. You know, you could have had like, oh, and another one's been taken. Like, just build that plot a little bit more.
Yeah. They were making an action film set in 18-something.
1840, I want to say.
Yeah.
Sure.
But they also wearing like medieval garb.
Right.
So maybe 1300s? I don't know.
I mean, that's where that steampunk thing is, makes things complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's like sometimes you see some of that.
Steam power too, so.
Well, right. Like, so some of that, sometimes you see that steampunk stuff and it is from that like industrial age with the top hats and the steam powered kind of thing.
Victorian era.
Yeah. And they try to apply that concept to older eras, which is what I kind of feel like this was.
It is an MTV movie. Let's not forget that fact.
Right.
I think my favorite is that the troll was named. Not like something like a troll name, like Gargamel or something like that.
Gargamel.
They named him Edward.
Edward,
right? I'm correct on that.
Yeah, it was Edward.
Oh, my God.
Edward. Gargamel's the bad guy in the Smurfs.
Yeah, but that at least makes sense as a bad guy, medieval kind of name. Mm. Edward is just like this is Brian the troll or something
right,
like that.
Right.
This is Jeff the troll.
I'm Bob.
Yeah, this is my troll. His name is Jim.
Yeah.
Although I did really enjoy the troll, and specifically that the troll was a practical costume.
Yeah, thank you. That's where I was.
That was great.
Yeah, it was beautiful. There were some times when I'm pretty sure it was a little CG going on there.
Oh, yeah.
But for the vast part of it, that was a costume and a dude in a costume. It was so nice.
Yeah.
So nice to see. And I thought the whole film had a lot of CG practical effects mixes that made it so real to me. It allowed the witches to ride the brooms, but when they zapped or were zapping, the trees would explode, and that was actual splintering. It wasn't a
those are squibs
thing. And the wire foo, they had a whole bunch of wire foo where they would climb up trees and walls and whatever. And it was actually a stunt person climbing up these trees, climbing up these walls.
Or getting thrown through walls and like smashing against buildings and stuff. Right. Like, that was real dudes getting fucked up. So, like, I like that.
In their childhood somebody got tossed down a hole.
Yeah.
Because the Jeremy Renner stunt person got thrown and he collapsed through and fell horribly. Man, that stuntman made his money that day.
Yeah.
That stuff looked painful. Like, and that's not something that you can CGI well.
Like, one of my favorite scenes that just made me go, how cool is that? Was when Famke, or whatever the witch's name was, Muriel.
Was it Muriel?
Muriel. At the very end, she...
I wrote down Famke.
At the very end, during this big battle with all these cool-looking witches, she jumps on her broom. She rocks back and forth for just a fraction of a second. So she jumped on something that made her move back and forth
in
a very real sense. So that wasn't a CG thing. That was a practical effect. It made me so happy.
And then she wrote Surrender Dorothy into the sky.
You'll have that. The makeup was great. Oh, my God. The witch with the goiter. The giant,
that was gross.
Goiter. Oh, so gross, so good.
The conjoined twins.
They were so cool. Yeah. Oh man,
that was a fun fight.
It of all the fights that should have lasted a little longer.
Yeah,
I wanted to see. I was hoping that like the twins that were conjoined back to back, literally.
Yeah.
Were like acrobats or?
Well, they obviously.
Well, they had something going on, but I was hoping. That a little Cirque du Soleil thing, had they would jump or do cartwheels or something like that. I was really hoping something
spin
like that
in the
would
air,
happen.
Kicking with
Thornton, right, you know? Right. Yeah. And they didn't quite do that, but it was still a really cool fight where, especially when he blew up
right down the center.
Right down the center where they were conjoined.
Spines
and there's just blood and visceral. Yeah. Oh, so good.
This movie was very, very obviously filmed for 3D and IMAX. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff was like flying at the camera or away from the camera.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember, like, toward the end when the witches were trying to escape and, like, they flew into the wires that were strung between...
That was awesome.
Yeah, they were strung between trees and there's wires.
Yeah, yeah.
They flew through it and, like, that whole Play-Doh Fun Factory situation happened where, like...
What? Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking ghost ship, but that... Yeah, this works too.
It's like hitting a piece of poop with a tennis racket or something.
Honey.
I don't know why it had to be poop. I'm sorry.
There's a no, honey. I haven't heard one of those in a while.
Oh, that's right.
She spent a lot of time poking him, so I think she's trying to refrain.
That was very clearly shot for 3D. Yeah. I totally
would. I'd have to look up. I didn't know it was shot in 3D.
Yeah, I wondered that when at that thing that you were talking about with Famke Janssen when she jumps on the broom and like rides away.
Yeah.
She's the full perspective coming straight at the camera and everything else is like kind of in the background for a split second. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is, don't care.
What about their little groupie? Ben was his name.
Ben.
And he had the collapsible rifle. And when he shot the rifle, there was slow motion of the bullet leaving the rifle barrel, and it split out into like shotgun pellets. I'm like, then why didn't you just shoot a shotgun?
There for a while, it seemed like every movie was 3D. This might have been that era.
2013?
Yeah. There was like a period of time where...
3 or 4 years where everything was in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, it seemed like they must have developed some sort of version of CG that was like... It's really best when it's 3D.
I think
post-Avatar.
Avatar is exactly what I was thinking. That was 2008, 2010?
I don't remember.
That's 2010.
I tried to block that from my memory.
Did you know
Avatar is a hunk of shit.
I hear that the park at Disney, though, is amazing because it's full world immersion.
Neat.
I mean, it was pretty.
It was very pretty.
Right.
It was very tedious.
Yeah. Right.
Is unobtainium easy to obtain? I couldn't resist.
The mineral that they're trying to mine out of unobtainium.
That's what drives me craziest about that movie is all the crazy attention to detail for all this stuff. And then what does he name the mineral that the whole crux of the stupid movie is around? Unobtainium. Like, that was just like something like an idiot thought of. And that's and I may not be a big James Cameron fan, but he's not an idiot. So I'm like, you didn't try at all with that.
Yeah. What's the stuff that Cap's shield is made out of?
Vibranium.
Vibranium.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a better effort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not made out of sitstillium. Or like the stuff that they're mining in Avatar, it's not easy to get-ium. I liked Avatar. It was not particularly original, but, I mean, it was a well-done movie.
Dances with blue people.
Yeah.
Dances with Florin Gully.
Yep.
Going back to what I was saying before, like I was wondering if they were going to do anything about like tying in the lore of witches, or like if they were going to tie anything to what people know about witches, like Wicca or like paganism or anything like that. Or
there was the tiniest bit in that whole like white witch versus dark witch, where the white witch was the healer.
Mm. You know, is that a thing? I don't know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, a lot of how do I say this? It's not lore. We know that. A lot of the women that were persecuted during the witch hunt years were women who had some kind of skill. They were doctors of their day.
Right.
I mean, they were coming up with the medicines and things. They understood the way plants work. There was, you know, something that was handed down from, you know, parent to child kind of concept.
Right.
And so that image of the healer is... that white witch, and then it's that concept of drunk on the power that becomes the dark witch.
Mm-hmm.
They touched on that a little bit in this movie.
Okay.
You had texted in the message that you sent me about why didn't this become a series. I wondered if the thought process in the series was going to be almost a MCU world building where we'd have like Hansel Gretel, like witch hunters and little Red Riding Hood werewolves, you know, and we'd have
Jack and Jill.
Right. Well, I don't know about Jack.
I don't know.
Maybe Jack and Beanstalk and the Giants, you know, kind of thing. One bad movie can tank a group of ideas.
I never knew I wanted that.
Well, there was a Jack the Giant Killer movie.
Sure.
True.
I think the reason why the Hansel and Gretel movie did not become a series is because Hansel and Gretel are public domain. Asylum started doing like Gretel the Destroyer or like Hansel Scissorhands, or I don't know what the hell, you know, like stuff like that. Where like, so material was already out there, and plus Jeremy Renner was in the Avengers, so
right.
he was not going to be available. Yeah, he's too busy making a ton of money off of a super, super successful franchise.
Right.
So that's probably why it didn't blow up.
No. Did you watch this movie? That's why I didn't blow up.
That's pretty, yeah. That's,
but, I mean, the movie wasn't a failure.
I don't think it was a failure.
No, not at all.
It made its money back.
Oh, no. Its budget was $50 million. It made $226 million
really?
Worldwide.
That's surprising. I did not think that.
Yeah.
Huh. It was a bad weekend for everything.
Donna went and saw it.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Yeah, $226.3 million and $18.
With the way it ended, they were fighting a final witch at the very end.
The desert witch.
Yeah, it felt very much like, okay, so after this, we got to go kill the other witch.
Right.
And it was just going to steamroll into something else, another story. And I really like that idea where they're going to meet Red Riding Hood and they're going to meet Jack. And I can't even think of all of them. The three little pigs, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But like it's funny, like there's commonalities. Like we were talking about the witches before, like there seems to be a witch that eats children, but the big bad wolf appears in more than one of these
True.
Stories.
And maybe he's the Lex Luthor of this world.
Right. Like, I mean, he's the big bad wolf.
Or the Thanos, whatever.
Three little pigs, they would be like the builders. They could be like the tech guy.
Yeah.
They made the switchblade shotgun.
I mean, they did tell this story where they meshed all these stories together. It's called Into the Woods.
Yes, I'm thinking that.
Yes, also, yeah.
I haven't seen
where
that.
Where the baker and his wife are unable to have a child, or mom is finally pregnant and he steals plants from a witch's garden. Uh-oh. And she casts a spell on them and takes their child who becomes Rapunzel. And like it's all like Snow White and Cinderella and the Big Bad Wolf and Little Red Riding Hood. Like it's all intermixed in these fairy tales all together. I really loved, there was a show on called Grimm. That was a fantastic take on this concept where Grimm, like the brothers Grimm, were not just story collectors. They were like Buffy and Sam and Dean Winchester, like all kind of mixed in together.
So they were slayers?
They were slayers. Well, it used to be lots of the Grimms, but then eventually it gets down to like one. And when one dies, the next one in the family line is like brought in.
That's a slayer.
Totally,
then.
Except it's like it was still done in family, and so it follows that bloodline. So there'd be more than one. So kind of like the end of Buffy,
But what if you didn't want to be a Grimm? What if you just want to dance?
And so, but the whole story is told in like a modern day kind of like film noir mystery. I really, really liked it. It was really good.
Okay, you like good stuff.
Back to the movie, though. I was a little disappointed that they didn't play with some of the ideas of the witch and of Hansel and Gretel. Like, you know what? As stupid as it was, I thought it was kind of clever that they worked the diabetes in. It was really stupid, but like they at least took an element from the original story and carried it into adulthood. Like, first of all, I don't think that's how diabetes works.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah, like there's this hypoglycemic and hyperglycemic.
Right.
Whatever the case, this movie is not how diabetes works.
No.
I'm quite sure. not personally, but right. So let's just wrap this up. Dave, tell us what we are doing here with the rating system.
Oh, yes, that's right. So we here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night have a rather unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating, where we rate a movie from 0 to 6 beers. 0 beers, or 1 beer, means that the movie was really enjoyable. You didn't need to have any alcohol to enjoy it. 6 beers means that you needed a lot of alcohol in order to even tolerate the movie. So let's start with Pete. So Pete, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
I was at a 3, Dave. Thought the costuming and the special the mix of practical and CG effects were delightful. However, the story sucked. 3 beers.
3 beers for Pete. All right, let's go to Kathleen.
I am also 3 beers. Ooh. For almost the exact same reasons. So I thought I loved the costuming. I loved a lot of the effects. Could have done without the exploding guy in the bar.
Oh, it was
though
so good.
I was happy that he didn't vomit all those bugs, because that's what I thought was going to happen. I literally, as soon as he came in and started like, I like hand raised and I like turned my head. And then Troy goes, nope, he just exploded. And I like looked out and was like,
there's meat everywhere.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that scene was that Gretel, Gemma Arterton, she saw it happening and she was expecting it. She just stood there cross-armed, and as he exploded and meat and viscera were flying everywhere, she didn't care. She knew what was happening.
And then she reached out and moved Bob over so that it wouldn't get on him.
Yeah, he used Bob as a, or Ben.
Ben.
He used Ben as a human shield.
Yeah. I liked the effects. I liked the fact that the witches at the end were all very diverse, and it felt like they were trying to touch on multiple cultures and like
a diversity of witches.
Yeah. I liked the twist on the reason that the parents sent them into the woods was not to reject them or kill them or wish them harm, but to protect them.
Right.
But the story was stupid. The diabetes annoyed me. As soon as I saw him inject himself with the world's most terrifying hypodermic needle.
No kidding.
Hey, Hansel, why are you stabbing yourself with a caulking gun?
Right, exactly. That's what it looks like.
So you didn't appreciate Chekhov's insulin?
No, I did not appreciate Chekhov's insulin at all, because it was not subtle. Yeah, so 3.
Okay. So, Troy, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
2.
Ah,
2 beers. All right.
It was fine. I enjoyed it. The design was beautiful. Mm-hmm. The lead actress was beautiful. The witches were fun. The action was passable. The story was kind of lame. But yeah, it was fine. I enjoyed it. I was not upset while I was watching the movie.
You were not insulted?
Nothing made you mad.
Nothing insulted me. Nothing made me mad. It was quick.
Yeah. Yes.
87 minutes, 88 minutes.
Yep. So rock on. I could take that.
All right. Cool. Let's go with
her name's Donna.
Hey, honey.
Okay, Donna, how many beers do you require in order to enjoy this movie?
So I'm gonna say 0, only because the first time I saw it, I didn't have any alcohol, and I clearly enjoyed it on some level. Not because it's enjoyable, because it's really terrible, but it's not like Troy had said, it's not anger inducing. I didn't finish watching it even the second time and thinking, I'm really pissed off. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, God.
That movie didn't make me mad. 2 beers.
But the shortness of it made me hate it less.
Yeah.
So that it was over quickly and I had to endure very little of its ridiculousness made me, I'm like, I can tolerate this.
So just by virtue of there being less of the movie, you enjoyed it more.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, 0 beers for Donna.
Dave, how about you?
What about me? Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I will give it 1 beer.
Wow.
That's not to say I liked the movie, but I didn't need much to entertain myself, because I really did understand, like, I know where this is coming from. Like, knowing that the director had also directed Dead Snow.
Oh, yes. Yes, I forgot about that.
I'm sorry. Dead Snow.
It's about Nazi zombies.
Zombies, yeah. And it's pretty ridiculous and horrifically gory.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is horrifically gory.
The ending is... The ending.
But, like, we won't spoil anything for anybody, however. I knew that...
Because everyone here is going to watch that movie.
Yeah. Not me.
I knew this movie was going to be a hoot. I knew it was not going to take itself terribly seriously, but I also knew that it was going to be made with fun in mind. So I just kind of shut my brain off and watched it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
There are those movies. And I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I definitely appreciated, like, there was a lot of in-camera effects.
Yes.
Like, that stuff that happened really happened on set. Costumes, the creature costumes, the effects. I'm kind of a fan of anything that Peter Stormare is in. As soon as he came on screen, I was like, where is Pancake's house? From Fargo? No? Nobody? Okay.
No.
Me.
Yeah, okay. Well, Donna gets it. But yeah, 1 beer. I didn't need that much to tolerate or enjoy it.
I do think that there's a bit of a pattern with the ratings that we have based on the mindset that we have going into the movie. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, pretty sure this is going to be like a dumb popcorn kind of movie, then okay, like this one, that's what I would classify this as, a dumb popcorn kind of movie.
Right.
You know, it's when we have, well, I never have high hopes for these movies, but it's when we have higher hopes for the movie because of an actor or
Oscar winning
or a director or, you know, that kind of thing, and we're sort of like let down by it, then it seems to be higher. And then when we're just fucking blindsided by people we think are our friends. And they pick films.
What? That wasn't me. What have been?
No. Oh, she's not talking about
I'm
me.
Not talking about Dave.
Is this that FDR bullshit?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that I watched 15 minutes of that. That was awful. I would rather get polio and die.
Let me tell you something right now. I would not hate that movie as much as I do had I only watched 15 minutes of it. You did not even see the part of this movie that brings the rage.
Man, release the rage.
I always felt like the rating system wasn't necessarily whether we liked or hated it.
Right. Well, and what I actually enjoy the fact that it's not really predictable. Like, I don't know that, like, if we announce a movie ahead of time, somebody looking at that movie would think, okay, I think based on this, Pete's going to give it a this or Dave's going to give it a this, because I feel like we're kind of all over the place. And it really depends on so many different factors.
Like, Pete will love it.
I suspected that you, Pete, would rate this fewer beers. I mean, it had splodies and like
splodies
and hilarious
blood splodies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bordello of Blood had exploding vampires. Yeah. And like this movie had splody witches and there was boobs in it and there was a butt.
There was a butt. Bordello of Blood made me laugh and this movie did not make me laugh much.
Oh God, I laughed. A witch got her fucking head blown off. Like, yeah, it was hilarious.
There was some cool shit in it, that's for sure. Ugh. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you to change your rating. Peter Stormare got his head squashed by a troll named Edward.
Yeah, that's Edward. That's pretty
funny. Wrong.
Like, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Now, like, I don't know how many times a tree fell and killed a motherfucker.
Well, this is a goddamn forest.
Good and squishy. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of forest, I meant to bring this up earlier. Like, as I was watching, I'm like, okay, I'm going to check this out. And I'm looking through the forest. Okay, that's a real forest, not a set. That is not in the United States. And I looked up filming locations, and sure enough, like Bavaria, it's all in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, huh, that's cool. I appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
Like, they made the effort to film it pretty close to its place of origin.
Well, they probably needed a place that actually had a forest. We don't have a lot of those here in America.
In America?
America.
Well, we have forests, but, like, there's something...
Not where they're going to let people film.
Or blow up trees.
Right.
Are you trying to say that the forest in America where they shot Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves did not look British, Dave?
Was that in the United States they filmed that?
I'm almost positive parts of it, especially the scene in the river where they're having that fight with the sticks with Little John. I think that was like in North Carolina. I got to look that up now to verify that.
Oh, I don't know. Just if you look... Chances are it's like in one of those giant primeval forests that you find pockets of in Europe. But, I mean, that's just an idea for me. I don't know.
That's cool. It's cool that they went there.
I was wrong, actually. That was filmed in England, in Yorkshire.
Wah-wah.
At Aysgarth Falls. It did not look like England at all. It looked like part of the Appalachian Mountains to me.
Robin Hood, take me home to the place.
Sorry. Yes. Kathleen, where can people find us on the interwebs?
Well, dear fans, if you would like to reach out to us, you can reach us via email at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at gbbmnpodcast. You can interact with us on the Facebooks at Good Beer Bad Movie Night. And on Instagram, you can also find us at Good Beer Bad Movie Night, all one word. What are we watching next month?
Next month?
More aptly, what are you forcing me to tolerate next month?
You clearly do not have an appreciation for the kind of cinema that I offer you. You would never be able to watch such cinematic...
It's going
to
be really bad, isn't it?
It might be really bad. So next month is our Cinco de Mayo month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've done such movies as Ship of Monsters and Santo versus the...
Vampire Women.
Right, yeah. Right.
And Santo versus the Blob.
And that was pretty bad. The garbage bag.
Yes.
Santo versus the 10 guys under a big rubber sheet.
Right. So this year, we're going modern. It's from 2007. It is Mil Máscaras versus the Aztec Wrestlers. Oh, wait. Excuse me. Aztec Mummies.
Are they wrestling mummies?
No. Well, of course, they're going to be wrestling in a luchador movie.
A thousand masks.
Mil máscaras. I have no idea what to expect. Troy and I watched the trailer and it looks crazy pants.
Awesome. Not. More likely.
Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to love the hell out of this movie. Okay, gang. We're going to wrap this up tonight. Thank you very much for tuning in to Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
Whee!
And until next time, trolls serve witches.
That's gonna be in my head all day.
Troy.
I texted you.
You knocked that shit off.
The witch's door looks like a candy butthole.
Kreingeist!
Are you gonna wrap your ass in a blanket?
No.
To...
Is that what you were doing? Were you farting in that blanket?
No. And he kept saying, like, feeding the kids, stuffing the kids, stuffing the kids in the butthole. No, I was just leaving the room for totally not fart-related reasons.
Buttholes are mine, damn it. Back off, bitch. That's a butthole joke.
I don't lay claim to every butthole joke.
Goddamn patriarchy.
What the fuck was that?
Who put this poop in my pants?
No. Oh, right. Yeah, I fucked that up, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. I keep my farts in a jar. So we hear good poop. And it begins. We have the six-pack rating, where we...
Nice. Where we hack all over our script.
We're going to get the giggles.
All right, let's just get it out now. You go pee-pee. You go pee-pee out of your pee hole. How's your urethra?
Healthy.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, that was warm.
Did you touch his butt-warmed cushion?
No, it was a pen.
His pen was...
Like, it was, when he stood up, it rolled to the middle of the cushion, so he just reached over to pick it up so he didn't sit back down on it.
Oh, and the pen was warm?
The pen was warm.
Because I've been...
You've either been...
Why is nobody saying the obvious joke here?
Because we're waiting for you.
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
Aw. Now I want to know what the obvious joke was.
Probably being up your butt.
Yeah, the pen up in the butthole.
Oh, no, yeah.
Come on now.
Butthole pens.
It's one of your pens.
Don't smell it. You can keep the pen now.
Forgive him. His insulin is low.
My insulin is low. My alcohol is high.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. If you would like to reach out to us.
If you like. Guess what today is? It's Friday the 13th. 11, okay.
Not 11 or 12.
Ooh, tomorrow's Pi Day, too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
3.16.
1.4.
4.
1.4.
You did well in geometry.
Well, dear listeners.
Well, dildos.
We're never going to get to leave.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, what?
Oh, that burp tasted like crap. Sorry.
You've also just made her say honey like 4 times.
I am dead because of you. Now go live with the blue diamond and then throw it into the ocean like a dick.
Yes.
I'll never let go, except I'm going to totally let go.
So, until next time.
Shit.